awesome scene that we, that John has seen and shared with us, I am sure that he struggled with words to convey what he saw. There are some things that's just kind of indescribable, and I think that he's doing the best that he possibly can, but I don't think he could have listed everything that he saw, or maybe even understood everything he saw. And if you'll remember, last week, there was a cry, "Who is worthy to loosen the seals on this scroll?" The emphasis now changes from the scroll, to the one who is coming to get it. Remember John had tears in his eyes, crying because no one was worthy? If the scroll's not open, how could the end come? How could it be that God fulfills all of his promises? And it was bothering him. And then all of a sudden he sees the Lamb as he was. Now he described him as having some strange things around him. But this was the same Savior that he saw go to the cross of Calvary in a glorified body. One of the elders tapped him on the shoulder. "Look, crying. We found one that's worthy. And here comes Jesus." When Jesus appears, we're going to find that there is tremendous and awesome and automatic worship. And I'm going to be challenging us this morning by the promise that where two or three are gathered together, that He is with us. And it's no different than the praises and the worship that is found in heaven that should be here today. So let's look as he's about to get the scroll. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb. They fell before him, each one having a harp and a golden cup full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And verse 9. And they are singing a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open it, its seals, because you were slain, and you did redeem every tribe, language, people, and nation to God by your blood. And you made us a king and priest to our God, and we will reign on the earth." When the Lamb took the scroll, the response was immediate. High-ranking angels and redeemed man joined together to worship the Lamb. Immediately. Now they had harps. You've all seen the pictures of heaven. You're floating around with little angel wings, and you're floating around stringing the harp in the clouds. That is as far from biblical as anything else. Excuse me a second. What did he talk about? That there are harps, right? Well, actually, this is what you would call a zithern, or a kind of guitar, played with a hand or with a pick. So they had some... Aaron, they had some guitars there. Now, worship in heaven is accompanied by music. Now think about that. It's accompanied by music. There are some folks, some denominations, one in particular, I don't know how they get around that, thinking that we can't use instruments, but... Well, as one might expect, this is the passage that started the idea of people in heaven having harps. But don't get caught up on that. Just understand that there was some accompanying music going on there with all the singing. Because what were they doing? They were singing a new song. You ever wonder what that new song would be? I want you to, you know why it's a new song and not Amazing Grace? You know why it's a new song and not Rock of Ages? You know why it's a new song and not Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone? Which is, you know, why is it one of those songs? Well, it's a new song because the situation of every single saved person is different there. No longer do we have to praise God for what He's done. We're there. For what He's going to do. We're there. The new song is going to be something so spectacular. And it'll be nothing. It might just be a whole bunch of holy, holy, holies. I don't know. But if the new song will reflect your new relationship and your new bearings and situation there, your new mansion, whatever the case, it'll be a new song. Go back to verse 9. I want to show you something. And it says, having a harp and golden cups full of incense. And the incense are the prayers of the saints. Now, that's a little strange. They're the prayers of the saints. The elders symbolically presented the prayers of the saints. However, they're not interceding for the saints. They're not functioning as mediators. They're just simply carrying the prayers to them. Now, how all that works, I'm not going to pretend to know and pretend to tell you. We do know that there's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man Jesus Christ. The elders did not pray for the saints, and this no way justifies the Roman Catholic practice of prayers to the saints, asking them to pray for us. It's only one way to pray. Only one person to pray to, and that's to Jesus Christ. It is also possible that these prayers represent long-standing prayer of God's people, your kingdom come. It might have been the answer to that prayer. Who knows? But the idea here is the 24 elders were serving a purpose. In the days of the Apostle John, Roman emperors were celebrated upon their arrival with the Latin expression, vera, dignus. My Latin is terrible, by the way. That's translated, you are worthy. You are worthy. Here the true ruler of the world is honored. The praise, remember back in chapter 4, verse 11? The emphasis was on God's work of creation. Remember talking about that, how He created everything and all the things? Here, the emphasis is on His work of redemption. Go to verse 9. Look what it says. They are singing a new song, and you are worthy to take the scroll and to open it. It seals, not because of what? The creation. What He did to redeem us. The song here, you get a glimpse of this song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open it because you were slain. And you did redeem every tribe, language, people, nation to God by your blood. We do get a glimpse of what this song is about. Not that He was going to, but He's done it. The song honors the worker of redemption. The price of redemption. The destination of redemption. The payment of redemption. You see, the price of redemption is for you were slain. The worker of redemption is hath redeemed us. You were slain so that we could be redeemed. The song honors the destination of redemption. You have redeemed us to God. You brought us together. The song honors the payment by your blood. That's what it took. It honors the scope of redemption. Every tribe, tongue, and every people and every nation. Not everybody in these were saved, that were redeemed. But it wasn't just in the state of Arkansas. It wasn't just in the country of the United States. And it wasn't just in this continent. It was the entire world. He redeemed us. And that made him worthy. It honors the length of redemption. In verse 10, and you made us a king and priest to our God, and we will reign on the earth. It honors the result of redemption. Because of what he did, not only will we live forever with him, but we are king and priest to our God, and we will reign on the earth. Notice, not in heaven. We will reign on the earth forever and ever. That's my addition to that. Forever and forever, we're going to reign. Believers are kings because of our royal birth. Hold on a second. Dan, were you born? You weren't born royalty, were you? We got a whole, you know, we've had a whole education this past week in royalty, haven't we? We know all about royalty, the English monarchs and stuff, and you know, all that. But these people, did they do one thing to deserve being a king? No. You know why they're king or queen? It's because of the fact that they were born into it. When you and I were born and were in our physical bodies, my dad wasn't a king, my mom wasn't a queen, and you know, so I don't have that inherent royal lineage. But when I was born the second time, when I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I was born that second time, spiritually born, my daddy was king, and I'm heir to his throne. That's the lineage. Our destiny is to reign with Jesus. And we're priests because we need no mediator other than Jesus himself. You realize that you're priest. Have the same function as when you go to a Catholic priest. Somebody's telling you this and then you pray it up. Oh, that doesn't work. I don't need to tell anybody anything. It's, you know, tell them to, you know, pray for me. Now, I ask, you know, we all ask people to pray for us, but I don't have to, because I can pray for myself, because I am a priest to God. I perform that same function. In verses 11 and 12. And I saw and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living creatures, and of the elders, and the number of them were myriads and myriads and millions and millions. I struggled when I was translating this. The idea here is a bunch of them. I mean, bunches. Can't count. In verse 12, while saying in a great voice, all these angels, while saying in a great voice, worthy is the Lamb, having been slain and continuing to be slain, to receive the power, the riches, the wisdom, the strength, the honor, the glory, and yes, the blessing. The blessing. So the angels and the elders fell down before the Lamb together in Revelation 5:8. Yet it seems only the elders sang the song of the redeemed. The angels did not sing that song. Because in no place in the Bible does it tell us of the redemption of angels. The angels couldn't sing that song because they had never been redeemed. Then the voice of many angels around the throne rose up with the praise of the great Redeemer. In Revelation 4, back in the previous chapter 9 and 10, the angels prompted the elders into worship. The angels worshiped first, and it prompted the elders to come into worship. Here the elders seem to prompt the angels to worship. And it's a wonderful cycle in heaven with the angels and the elders encouraging each other to more and more praise. You know, it's really why we were created, isn't it? Just to praise Him. That's it, to praise Him. To give Him the honor and the glory. We should encourage each other to praise more and more. And I think sometimes we do things that hinder us or hinder others from truly praising God. This innumerable company of angels, and the angels can clearly see God's greatness, the greatness of God's work in redeeming. You heard the phrase, when someone's saved, the angels shout. There's an angel that shouts every time someone's saved. You remember back when Christ was actually born in Bethlehem, what happened with the angels? Look, they know about the redeeming work of Jesus. And they're okay with it. No, they're more than okay with it. They're happy that He's come to redeem the world. Isn't that something? Another created being who cannot be redeemed rejoices because 50 years ago I was. Millions and millions of angels in this scene. All praising God. You see, in response, they credit power and glory, riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory, and blessings to the Lamb. And strength, praise God for the way He works in the lives of others. They were thinking about us. You see, they praised Christ for His power. He was going to be able to open the book of destiny and carry out and execute God's will throughout the universe. They were praising Him because He was able to carry out the events of history and the events of the end time. All that had been planned at this moment was being fulfilled. And they praised Christ for His riches. He possesses the wealth to meet any need throughout the entire universe. Any need that you or I or any other creature might have, He possesses the ability to do that. They praise Christ for His wisdom. He knows all about God in heaven and all about us and our world with all His temptations and trials. Therefore, He knows that He can carry out the will of God laid out in this book. They praise Him for His strength. No one nor anything can stand against Him. Once this is done, Satan doesn't have a chance. He has infinite strength. He has indeed the strength of God. And all He has to do is speak the word, and His will is done. Therefore, He can carry out the events that's going to happen in the rest of this book. Meet our need. They praise Him for His honor. He is the one appointed to open the book of destiny, and He's the one that gets the true honor for it. They praise Him for His glory. He is the supreme glory and majesty of the universe. We talked about that last chapter. And His glory shines brighter than the sun. Thus, there will be no night there. Yeah. He will be the light. They praise Him for His blessing. He deserves all the blessing that heaven and earth can give. Why? Now remember, we just learned this morning. Praise. He He deserved all the praise. Why? Because of all the blessings he's given us. Therefore, all the blessings that heaven and earth can give are because of him. Wow. Making the case that he needs to be worshipped, that he needs to be praised, making the case that we, when we come before him, whether literally in that day or figuratively right now, when he's spiritually here, we need to do the same thing. Verse 13 and 14. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and upon the sea and all the things in it, I heard them saying to the one who was sitting on the throne and to the Lamb, the blessing, the honor, the glory, and the power to the ages of the ages. And the four living creatures were saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. So after each group of living created beings has sung their chorus of praise, then all of creation, every being, creature who's ever lived, both in heaven and earth, shall break forth into a chorus of praise to both God and to Christ. You remember when they were trying to shut Jesus and the disciples up? He was entering into Jerusalem for the last time. They were saying they were going. Everybody was heading to Palm Sunday. They were all making. And he goes, Pharisee, can we? You need to do something. You need to tell these people not to do this. Make too much of a racket. No. Jesus said, even if you shut them up, even the stones would cry out. Look, it seems like sometimes that we're in a bad predicament. People don't want to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. People don't want to worship him. People don't want to have anything to do with, quote, religion or God. Let me tell you what. The more persecution that there's going to be on the church trying to shut us up, the more God is going to show them who he is. I'd much rather be being shut up than the one God's going to show another way. You can't shut it up. And these folks here broke forth into one chorus of praise to both God and Christ. The whole creation cried out, praising him. Then the four living creatures, they shout, Amen. They were probably in the back rows, like good Baptists. The four living creatures shouted, Amen. Y'all know what Amen means? Let it be. Let it be so. Truly, he has a scroll in his hands. They're giving him praise, and the four creatures says, let it be. Let it be so. It's time. John couldn't be any more complete in the scripture. Truly, this is every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are as in the sea and all that are in them. This combined worship of the Father and of the Lamb is a strong testimony to the deity of Jesus. There cannot be the slightest doubt that the Lamb is to be reckoned with God and as God. He is God. You say, well, Brother Ray, what do you mean by worship? What does that mean to worship? The ancient Greek word for worship is literally to prostrate, or to lay down in complete submission. Now, if I was younger, I probably would show you. But after yesterday, I don't think I could get back up. Flat on your face, with your arms extended before God. And the elders fell down. Remember, last chapter, they were on thrones. And they were casting, they started casting their crowns, giving them back to God. And here, they fall flat on their face, prostrate. The scene may be that the elders fell down to their knees. Maybe. Or they then laid themselves before Him who lives forever and ever as an expression of their total submission and of worship. Let me tell you what, when you fall prostrate before somebody, you have their total mercy. They can do whatever they want to with you at that point. The living God reigns eternally. You know, Caesars come and go. Presidents come and go. Including those who persecute God's people. But the Lord lives forever. And He is ever worthy of our praise. Never really has there ever been such a chorus of worship as we will be seeing in that glorious day. That day of redemption. When all creation shall praise Him who is our Lord and is our Savior. Even the Son of God Himself. And I want you to remember why. Why they praised Him there then, and why we should praise Him now. Because He is worthy to step forward and take a book of destiny out of the hand of God. Because He is worthy to rule and to reign over all history. Both now in the last days and throughout all eternity, world without end. He's worthy. In my book, if I just took what He's done for me, that makes Him worthy. I shouldn't have to have all these other reasons to praise and honor and glory Him simply because 50 years ago I asked Him to save me and He did. He changed me. He changed me. I was destined to rule and reign forever with Him. Now, this is obviously talking about one day in the future. I don't think I'm one of the 24 elders. And I know I'm no angel. I could be one that's falling prostrate before Him in His sheer magnificence. Could be. But I do know there will come a day when I will stand before Him individually. I will stand before Him. And He's either going to accept me in because I am clean, I'm washed by His blood. Or He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Yeah, that can happen. If you don't know Christ to save you. But I know, you know, I can only, you know the song, I Can Only Imagine. And it says, will I stand? Will I do a dance? Or will I just fall down to my knees? I would like to think that I could, that I could keep my feet. But I want you to think about something you believed in all your life and trusted in and never seen. Someone that you told for years and years when you met together that you were there, that He was here with you, that you never really saw Him. And you've been made fun of. You've been persecuted. And for some have been killed because of that. Of that belief. And of someone that you could not see. And maybe you begin to doubt. Maybe you begin to say, is he really there? But when you stand before him, and you realize that everything that you have read, everything that you've been told, everything that you stood and believed upon was so true in the form of that one lamb, that one slain lamb that John saw, I have a feeling my knees are going to buckle in an instant. Maybe I'll feel guilty because I didn't do it soon enough. I didn't worship Him the way I needed to worship. Guys, when we have church service, and I want to get real with you for a second. When we come together to worship, it's not because you're here to hear me drone on. Not here because someone sang a special word. You're not here because your friend comes here. We come here to meet with God. Through Jesus Christ. We come here not to extol our own pride or good things that we do. We're here simply to uplift Jesus. To praise Him. To thank Him. That's all we're here for. If we just a little bit, the worship that goes on and that's going to go on in heaven. I pray that we all can do that today. And we make it a special point to wake up each morning praising God, worshiping Him, giving Him our hearts and our lives. You see, when we fall down, like the elders did, we fall prostrate, we give Him everything. We don't stay there. He says, get back up. Go back. Do what I need you to do today. That's what we need to do. Worship Him and get up and do the things that He wants for us in this life until we meet Him. Rule and reign with Him. If you're here today and you've never made that never received the gift of everlasting salvation from Christ. He's never washed your sins away. You're going to stand before Him and all He's going to see is you and your sins. Would you do that today? How can you worship a God who's refusing to accept the gift from Him? That makes sense. Would you come today? Bow before Him. Give Him your heart, your life, so He can give you something back better than mine. He'll truly bless you. He'll truly enlarge your life. He'll truly make you happy. So as we stand and prepare for the invitation, whatever it is that God's needing, wanting you to do today, whatever it is that God speaking to your heart about, would you say yes to Him? Would you fall down before Him and worship, truly worship Him and give Him your heart and your life? So as we sing, this is your opportunity.